Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Nevi'im Rishonim, sponsored by the Cyprus Foundation in conjunction with the OU and the Nachyomi Project. In today's year, we're going to do something a little bit different, since we're also starting the study of Sefer Yeshayahu and the Nachyomi Project, and we're a little behind in our shiurim on Sefer Melachim. We're going to use that to our advantage, and we're going to study now the time period that the Navi Yeshayahu talks about in Sefer Melachim. Let me explain what we're going to do. In the opening psukim of Yeshayahu, we're told about the different kings under whose reign Yeshayahu gave all of his prophecies. And in the opening pasuk of Yeshayahu, we're told that this chazon of Yeshayahu was during the reign of the following kings of Yehuda: Uzziel, Yotam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu. Now, the first parak in Yeshayahu isn't clear exactly who the king is, but in our study of Yeshayahu, we're going to see that from chapter 2 to chapter 6, almost for sure is going to be referring to the events in the time period of Uzziel. And therefore, to appreciate what's going to be happening in the opening chapters of the book of Yeshayahu, we're going to focus on today's share to appreciate what's happening during the time period of Uzziel in Sefer Melachim. To do that, our share today will be on chapters 11 through 15, Prakim Yud Aleph through Tedvav in Sefer Melachim Bet, and that will give us the background to appreciate what's going to be happening in our study of Yeshayahu. The first point we want to make in today's shiur is to show how the time period of Uzziel is very similar to the time period of Yehoshaphat in relation to the state of the nation and the unity between the tribe of Yehuda and the kings of the north. But in between Yehoshaphat and Uzziel, the times are very difficult and there's a lot of strife. In fact, there's many civil wars between Yehuda and Yisrael during that time. In other words, what's going to be special about the time period of Uzziel will be that for the first time since Yehoshaphat and Ahav, we're going to have unity and prosperity in the Jewish nation. To appreciate why things went bad and how things got better, and how the Navi Yeshayahu is going to relate to this, we're going to begin our share by tracing all the events from the time period of Yehoshaphat and Ahav until we get to Uzziel. The first thing we're going to do is try to understand why the powerful kingdom of Yehoshaphat and Yehuda fell apart. Recall that one of the reasons for Yehoshaphat's success was his alliance with Ahav. And that alliance brought tremendous prosperity and security to both Yehuda and Israel. However, even though Yehoshaphat was a very good king, as an attempt to bring Ahav a little bit closer to him, he had his son Yehoram marry the daughter of Ahav named Ataliah. And that worked against Yehoshaphat in many ways, because Ataliah ended up being a bigger influence on Yehoram than the other way around. And when Yehoshaphat dies and Yehoram takes over the kingdom, Yoram leaves God and follows the ways of Ahav and the ways of Jezebel and leads the kingdom of Judah towards idol worship. He reigns for only about 8 years, and his son Ahaziel, his son from Ataliah, takes over the kingdom for about a year. And the Navi explains it's because of Yoram and later Ahaziel's friendship with Ahav and the house of Ahav and that entire family and all the influence of Jezebel that God gets angry with the kingdom of Yehuda and brings to their demise. As we discussed in our last share, the son of Yehoram and Ataliah, named Ahaziel, was the king of Yehuda who was visiting Yoram, the king of Israel, when Yehu began his coup d'etat and took over the whole northern kingdom. In doing so, he assassinated not only Yehoram, the king of Israel, but he also killed Ahaziel, the king of Yehuda. And afterward, Yehu wiped out the entire leadership that was running the country in the time of Ahav. In the meantime, in Yehuda, now that their king was killed, Ataliah, the mother of Ahaziel, is very angry at what Yehu had done, and she takes revenge against the whole religious house of the king of Yehuda and tries to kill the entire royal family. One young child is saved, named Yoash. Ataliah takes leadership of Yehuda for about 6 years, and finally, about 7 years later, Yehoiada, the Kohen Gadol, does a coup d'etat, taking Yoash, who he was hiding in the Beit HaMikdash, and coronates him as king. Ataliah is killed, and Yoash, under the leadership of Yehuda the Kohen, does a very good job in putting the kingdom of Yehuda back in the right direction. In the Haftarah that we read recently for Shabbat Parshat Shkalim, we talked about the fundraising that Yoash did to renovate the Beit HaMikdash during his time period. Even though in Sefer Melachim we hear about Yoash as a very good king, there's some very sad events that happened later in his lifetime, after the Kohen Gadol Yehoiada, who put him into power after he dies. A very interesting detail, which we only find in Divrei Yamim, which will explain why things in the time of Yoash start to go bad for Yehuda, is because even though, under the guidance of the Kohen Gadol Yehoiada, Yoash did very well. After Yehoshadak passed away, we're told how Yoash began to follow, together with some of the ministers of Yehuda, began to follow other gods. And God sent prophets to have them return to God, and they didn't listen. The details you can find in Dibra Yamin Bet, Perach Abdal, in chapter 24 in 2 Chronicles, between Sukim Tedvav and Chav Bet. One of the interesting details there is Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada, was one of the prophets who was rebuking the king. The king was so angry that he commanded that Zechariah be put to death, and in the Beit HaMikdash himself, they stoned the Navi Zechariah to death. In fact, in one of the piyutim, which we say on Tisha B'Av, we talk about the Babylonian commanders, when they come into the Beit HaMikdash, they see that there's blood bubbling over, which doesn't rest, and that's identified as the blood of the Navi Zechariah, who was killed many years earlier by the king Yoash. The nation of Aram now, Aram, which is Syria today, in the area of Damascus, became very powerful. They came in at this time and attacked Judah. They ransacked the city of Yerushalayim and took many of its possessions as its shalal, as its booty. And here we see how the grand kingdom of Judah, which had begun in the time of Yehoshaphat and had been fixed up a little bit in the early years of Yoash, how everything falls apart during the later years of Yoash. Things were so bad for Yoash that Yoash himself was assassinated by some of his own advisors, especially because they were angry what he had done to Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada. The next king who took over was Amatziah, who also, in Sefer Melachim, didn't seem to be that bad, but in the parallel account in Divrei Hayamim, we also find some disturbing stories about what he did. But the most difficult story about Amatziah is the civil war that he engages in against the 10 tribes. And in that civil war, he fights, at that time, it's going to be Yoash, the king of Israel, and Amatziah, the king of Judah, go to war. Judah loses to Israel at that time, and not only is there a lot of tension between Judah and Israel, here we see how Yisrael is even more powerful than Yehuda, and Yehuda reaches one of the lowest points since the time of Shlomo under the reign of Amatziah. If you'd like to see details on that, read in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perach Hafei, chapter 25 in Divrei Hayamim Bet. We'll give you a lot of extra details to appreciate what went wrong and how things were bad. Again, it seems that whenever there was a king who left God to a big extreme, he was assassinated by some of the servants. Here again, Amatziah, there's a plot to kill him, and he runs away to the city of Lachish, and he's assassinated there. And then the people of Yehuda take Uziel, the son of Amatziah, when he's only 16 years old, and make him king. It's under the reign of Uziel where things begin to get better again for the Jewish people. We should also note that Uziel is called Uziel in Yishayahu, and also in Divrei Hayamim, and Sefer Melachim, his name is Azariah. It's the same name, just pronounced a different way. But for the purpose of our shir, we'll call him Uziel. So if we review the time period between Yehoshaphat and Uziel, we have about 8 years of Yehoram, another year of Ahaziel, 40 years of Yoash, another 29 years of Amatziah, and then finally we get to Uziel, who's going to become king for over 50 years. So in other words, between the glorious years of Yehoshaphat and the glorious years of Uziel, which are going to begin now, we have about 70, 80 years. And during those 80 years, we find some very difficult civil war between Yehuda and Israel. We also find the defeat of Yehuda in the hands of Aram. We find the borders of Yehuda shrinking. And for the people in Yehuda, things have never been so bad. The Navi explains, both of Melachim and Divrei Hayamim, that the reason for this is because both Yoash, in the later part of his kingdom, and also Amatziah, during the later years of his reign, left God, followed other gods, and that behavior of those kings brought their demise. Of course, those kings themselves probably were angry at God for things becoming bad, and that's a classic problem we have in Nevi'im all the time. Who's to blame when things go wrong? What happens too often is that when things aren't going good for the Jewish people, the leadership blames God, and therefore they leave God and start following other gods. And God explains the reason why things got bad is because you left God. If you want to look in details about that, look in the end of Parsha Va'elech and Sefer Dvarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, and then Shirat HaZinu and Perek Lamed Bet, and you see exactly that discussion and topic, who's to blame when things go wrong. But for the purpose of our shir, we've simply tried to show you how things were so bad up until Uziel, and now we're going to see how things get better during the reign of Uziel. One of the main reasons for the improvement is because once again we find a treaty between Yehuda and the king now up north, Yerovam, the son of Yoash, the grandson, the great-grandson of Yehu, the king of Israel. After this terrible civil war between Amatzia and Yoash, there's a change in policy in Yehuda, and they decide instead of fighting Israel, they're going to join and work together. There's also a political reason for this prosperity. That's because the nation of Aram, who was so powerful in the previous decades, now is beginning to fall. The kingdom of Ashur has not risen yet into power. And now there's a political opportunity due to the fall of Aram, where the people of Israel, because they're working together, are able to take control over this area of the Middle East. And once again, they control the main highway. The trade between Egypt and Mesopotamia is now under their control. And now the country begins to grow, just like it did during the time period of Shlomo, and just like it did during the reign of Yehoshaphat and Ahav. In chapter 15 in Melachim Bet, we find a very short description of the reign of Uzziel. If you want a more detailed description, page 3, chapter 26 in Divrei Hayamim Bet, where we talk about how big his army is, all of his building projects, the special wall that he built around Yerushalayim to make it easier to shoot arrows and defend the city. And finally, there's a story about Uzziel towards the end of his life, where he becomes so haughty from all of his wealth that he wants to go into the Beit HaMikdash and bring Torah and offer a special incense offering. God becomes angry at that desire to go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. He's warned, he doesn't listen, and when he goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, when he goes into the Holy of Holies, he's struck with leprosy, and from that time on, his son Yotam takes over the kingdom. In the meantime, in the kingdom of Yisrael up north, even though under the reign of Yehu, and afterwards his son Yoachaz, things were bad for the people of Israel, we return to that topic when we discuss the stories of Elisha that probably took place during that time period. During the reign of Yehu's grandson, Yoash, and his great-grandson, Yerovam ben Yoash, things become much better for the people of Israel. Aram has fallen, and Yisrael is able to become prosperous again, both from an economic point of view and also from a military point of view. To appreciate why things get better for Yisrael during this time period, we have a Melachim Bet Perek Yudalad in chapter 14, beginning from Pasach Chav Gimel, from verse 23, we have an explanation by the Navi of why things improve. We're told as follows: B'shat 15 shana l'matzeh ben Yoash melech Yehuda, malach Yerovam ben Yoash melech Yisrael b'shomron 41 shana. In the middle of the reign of Amatzeh, the king of Yehuda, he was the king before Uzziel. Yerovam, the son of Yoash, became king over Israel, and he was king for 41 years. And Yerovam ben Yoash, the king of Israel, his reign overlaps many years with Uzziel, the king of Yehuda. In fact, in the opening pasuk of Amos, we're told that Amos gives his nevuot during the reign of Uzziel, the king of Judah, and Yerovam, the king of Israel. And he's a contemporary with Yishayel. There we're told, Vayasa Rabbi Hashem, he did bad in the eyes of God. He continued in all the sins of Yerovam ben Nevat, who led the Jewish people in the wrong way. On the other hand, he only did the sins of Yerovam with the Bamot and Beit El and Dan. We don't find Yerovam doing Avodat Baal, definitely not to the extent that the house of Ahav did. Remember, the house of Yehu was the one who got rid of the Baal, and therefore idol worship is not so bad during the reign of the house of Yehu. But despite the fact that Navi says he didn't do so good in the eyes of God, on the other hand, we're told about how successful he was. In Pasach Hafei, Hu Yeshivi Gvur Yisrael Milavo Chamat Adad Yam Arava, he returned the borders of Israel from Chamat up in the Bekaa Valley, even north of Damascus, all the way up into Syria, all the way down to Yam Arava, all the way down to the Dead Sea. Kidvar Hashem Elohi Yisrael, just like God, the God of Israel, had predicted, Asher Diber Bi'ad Avdo Yonah Ben Amitai HaNavi Asher Migat Hefer. Here we have the known mention of the Navi Yonah, who we later will see his own book in Trei Asar, the Navi Yonah, the Haftar which we read on Yom Kippur, here is mentioned in Sefer Melachim, and Yonah had predicted, and it came, now he predicted, he explained, why were the Jewish people successful during this time period? Ki Ra'a Hashem Et Oni Yisrael Mo'orem Od, he saw how difficult and afflicted the people of Israel were. No one was helping the Jewish people. Things were going bad. Things were falling apart. God had rachmanut, God had mercy on them, and told them even though they might not be so deserving, God said, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to make life better for them. And hopefully, if I improve their economy and help their security and bring them back to the grandeur again, maybe then the nation would follow God properly. This time period, when things go well now for Yisrael up north, and things are also going well for Yehuda, God is hoping, by being kind to the Jewish people at this time, that they'll reciprocate and channel that wealth and that prosperity in the right direction. God decided not to destroy and wipe out the name of Israel from under the heavens. He brought their salvation through the leadership of Yerovam, the son of Yoash. So that's the description of Yerovam, who's a contemporary of Uzziel, during this time period. It's now when we find Yishayahu beginning his nevuot. And Yishayahu is something very basic to tell the people. In chapter 2 in Yishayahu, there's the famous prophecy of Chazon Achrit Hayamin, which is called the prophecy of the end of days. Yishayahu foresees where the Jewish people will be in a leadership position, other nations will be coming to Yerushalayim and looking for guidance, Kimitzion Tetzei Torah, Uzvar Hashem Yerushalayim, for the word of God will come out of Zion. Nations will live in peace with one another. Those are the verses written on the Isaiah wall outside the United Nations. There's tremendous hope for this time period. And we'll have to explain in our next share why is it that Yishayahu sees this time period with so much potential to be a messianic time period. But what we've seen in today's share is when Yishayahu begins his nevuot, and now with Yishayahu also Amos and also Hosea, it'll be during a time period when the Jewish people have reached prosperity. They're unified. Their borders are secure and things are going very well. We don't find worship of Baal and Asherah like we had in the time of Ahav. We find them worshiping God in a rather positive way, better than it's been in the previous decades. And now there's a chance once again, like there was a chance in the time of Shlomo, and like there was almost a chance in the time of Yehoshaphat, for the Jewish nation to return to their ideal and be a nation representing God the proper way. There's going to be one major problem that the people are still suffering from. They're not taking that prosperity and channeling it in the right direction. Instead, the rich are becoming richer. They begin to oppress the poor. And even though they're worshiping God in the Beit HaMikdash, the Nevi'im of this time period, especially Yishayahu, is going to be very critical of their behavior, especially about their haughtiness and their lack of care for the poor and the needy. This will give us the background to appreciate what we're going to see in our study of Yishayahu. In today's show, we simply wanted to cover the time period of the kings of Yehuda between Yehoshaphat and Uzziel, which are described from chapters 11 to 15 in Melachim Bet, to appreciate the high point, then the slide down to the low point again, to the civil war, and then the return to the high point when we have unity between north and south. And that will provide us a very good background to appreciate why there's going to be so much nevuah, so much potential during the reign of Uzziel and his contemporary Yerovam, and why the Nevi'im are so disappointed when that potential is missed. When they miss that potential, that's going to lead to the ultimate destruction of both the northern kingdom and ultimately later also Yehuda over the next 100 some years. We'll continue this topic in our next year.